Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the September 15th, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I am your chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton. I'm joined by Supervisor Sherrill and soon to be joined by President Mandelman. Today's clerk is Victor Young, and we have Eugene Labadia with SF Gov TV that will make sure that this meeting is broadcasted on SF Gov TV so that the public will be able to know how we conduct city business today. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. mail to our office in City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of September 23rd, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you so much. Please call item number one.
Yes, item number one is a motion appointing Crystal Hawkins, residency requirement waived, term ending March 19, 2028, to the Child Care Planning Advisory Council.
Thank you so much. And of course, this is something my office was happy to do, and I believe Crystal is here. So please come up and tell us why you want to serve.
Good morning. My name is Crystal Hawkins. I'm a licensed clinical social worker with close to two decades of mental health services. I would like to have this seat to continue doing the work that I've done in the Bayview for the past 11 years. I remember when I started with San Francisco Unified School District, I wasn't sure what the Bayview was as it relates to San Francisco, but I remember getting off the phone with my mom saying that, HR continues to tell me that I'll be in the Bayview. I wonder if that's like our neighborhood, South Central LA. And once I moved to the Bay, I realized that it very much so was, with a lot of community, family, history, but also being under-resourced and underserved. So as my time with the San Francisco Unified School District, I believe a lot with what the work of the council is doing, that we are aligning policy. We know policy informs funding, but how can we inform that policy to ensure that the children and the families in the community we serve are getting the equitable, much-needed services they are? I don't have children of my own, so it's an honor to do this work in partnership, not only with teachers who serve children and families, but also families who come with a cultural knowledge of funds as what's best for their babies. As a result of the school district's ongoing significant disproportionality, sanction over referral, suspension of expulsion of black students, 8 years ago I developed the Shoestrings Children's Center, California's only social, emotional, and sensory integration program in the state of California in a school district. And I'm proud to say that our program has been disrupting significant disproportionality, disrupting the preschool to prison pipeline, disrupting over-referring, over-identifying, and expulsion of black students followed by Latinx students. So my hope is that I get the opportunity to do this work in partnership with CPAC so we can ensure that each and every family have exactly what they need to thrive.
Thank you, Ms. Hawkins. And I don't see any questions or statements by colleagues, so we will call for public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And again, I just want to thank Ms. Hawkins for being willing to bring her talents, her skill set to work on our CPAC. The work is very important, and we need someone, of course, with the qualifications, but also the dedication and commitment to achieving success for our young people here in San Francisco. So with that, I will make a motion to move this item forward with recommendation with a residency waiver required.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations and thank you. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 2.
Item number 2 is the ordinance amending the administrative code to create the Union Street Entertainment Zone on Union Street between Golf and Steiner Streets and on Fillmore Street between Union and Greenwich, and affirming the Planning Department's determination under the California Environmental Quality Act.
Thank you. Vice Chair Sherrill.
Thank you, Chair Walton. This has been a community-driven process, and I'm extremely grateful for the merchants on Union Street, both the Union Street Merchants Association, but also individual merchants who have stepped up to speak out about this, one of whom, Teddy Kramer, is here with us today. You know, every business on the block has expressed the need for more activity, for more foot traffic, and there is a clear economic boost, social boost, vibrancy boost from the increased activity that entertainment zones can bring. Over the last several months, we've heard concerns about entertainment zones, concerns and conflations with the idea of permanent street closures. These are two very different things. At the same time, I think it's important to recognize that some concerns related to trash management around entertainment zones are important. And that's why I think I really appreciate the community's input in the management plan and ensuring that we have waste management plans for each entertainment zone activity and for permitted events. And so I just really want to thank members of the community for weighing in, for members of Union Street Merchants Association and for other business owners today. So thank you all to the community for making this possible.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sherrill. And seeing no other comments from colleagues, Mr. Clerk, please call for public comment on item number
2. Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Teddy Kramer. I am a business owner on Union Street as well as a member of the Union Street Association, which is our local business league / merchant association. I am an enormous supporter of entertainment zones, not just in our neighborhood, but all across the city. We have done over 1 year worth of outreach with all merchants across Union Street, as well as neighborhood groups such as the Golden Gate Valley Association, Pacific Heights Neighbors Association, the Cal Hollow Association, about having an entertainment zone on Union Street. We've got overwhelming support. They understand this is about economic activity, activation, but at the same time, taking responsibility for our corridor. In order for entertainment zones to succeed, the entire neighborhood has to succeed, and that's why we're partnering with organizations like Refuse Refuse, who are going to partner with us during entertainment zones to ensuring that the neighborhood is clean, partnering with all the neighborhood groups so that they are aware about changes to with street closures related to things with the SFMTA, potential loss of parking during these short periods. But ultimately, this is a net positive for our community because it's about economic revitalization of our neighborhood. We've seen the success of Front Street. We've seen success with the night markets. We need it on Union Street. We want it on Union Street. And we appreciate any support you can put behind this so that we can make Union Street thriving again. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Are there any additional speakers for this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no additional speakers, public comment is now closed. And I'd like to make a motion to move item 2 to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Please call item number 3.
Yes, item number 3 is a motion approving or rejecting President Raphael Mandelman's nomination for the reappointment of Elizabeth Alexander Tutt to the Building Inspection Committee, term ending July 1st, 2027. There is a request that this matter be sent out as a committee report.
Thank you so much. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. I am and have been happy to nominate Elizabeth Alexander Tutt for reappointment. Everything that I've heard about her service on the commission has been good. She has decades of experience in the mission, in labor, in tenant work. She, I think, is very familiar with how the department works with some of the most vulnerable communities and people in San Francisco, and I think all of that is good. And so I would like to see her continue to serve, and I hope this committee will agree.
Thank you so much, President Mandelman. And let's hear from Elizabeth Alexander Tutt.
That was very kind. Thank you for your words, President Mandelman. Good morning, Chair Walton, Supervisor Sherrill, and again, President Walton. My name is Elizabeth Alexander-Toot, and I have been on the BIC for 7 years, and I'm before you today to for your consideration in my reappointment. As a former tenant organizer, I have, and actually out of DBI's own program, the Code Enforcement and Outreach Program, I worked with the most vulnerable tenants in the city in the apartment buildings, in the Tenderloin, in the Mission District, and in the SROs. And I know how important the enforcement of our housing code is. So when we think of the building code, most people think about the important role that we play in moving permits and obviously in promoting development. But we also enforce the housing code, and that's the code that says that you have to have hot water, that you have to have heat. And the health and well-being of our tenant population, which is the majority of San Francisco, and especially our most vulnerable residents, really depends on the enforcement of these rules. And they only get enforced when people care about them. We have an amazing housing division, and we have great community partners. I've worked, and thank you for your support during the budget process. We've worked to secure the funding for the community partners that help us enforce these rules. I'm a proud San Francisco Unified School District mother, and I know how important the ability to have cooking in the SROs, to have habitable, you know, situations for your children. The work we do is so important for our elderly, for most vulnerable populations. I've also been the board president for the last 2 years, and I'd like to speak a little bit about that. It's a little bit beyond the scope of just tenants, and that's really in we were able to, on ethics and upholding the good ethics, we were able to work with the department to implement all of the controller's ethics recommendations. And we continue, especially with the purchase, and we're looking forward to the new database system to even have more controls and kind of more insight into some of the elements of concern in the department. And we've really worked together with the DBI leadership to turn around the culture within the department. And then this isn't on, so I don't want to go over my 2 minutes. Am I okay?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. And so I want to just, you know, also say that one of the most important things while I'm in the tenancy, it's so important that this department works really well and that we are efficient and that we are meeting the deadlines that you guys set for us in terms of getting our permits turned around, in terms of making things very smooth and working with other city departments. And that's something I think we're all continuing to work towards, and I'm grateful for much of the legislation that has come from this body and from the mayor's office in order to improve our systems and our structures. And I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Seeing no comments from colleagues, Mr. Clerk, please call for public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I would just like to follow up on President Mandelman's comments and just say I 100% stand by his comments and have had the opportunity to do the same and appoint Ms. Alexander-Toot. So I appreciate this appointment, excited about her continued willingness to serve, and look forward to continuing to work together. With that said, I'd like to make a motion to approve this appointment and remove rejecting.
Yes.
And send to the full board as a committee report. Thank you.
Yes, on the motion to amend the motion to approve the appointment and to recommend it as amended as a committee report. On that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. The motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you. Ms. Toot, congratulations. And now, Mr. Clerk, would you please call item number 4?
Item number 4 is an ordinance amending, approving amendments to the rules and regulation for the Neighborhood Beautification and Graffiti Cleanup Fund.
Thank you so much. And I believe we have Robin Takayama here from the City Administrator's Office.
Welcome. Yes.
Good morning, Chair Walton and Supervisor Cheryl and Mandelman. This revision is a minor administrative update to the Community Challenge Grants Program rules and regulations. Under the current rules and regs approved by the board earlier this summer, applicants must have 2 years of operating history to be eligible. However, we've seen that an organization's age doesn't necessarily reflect readiness to manage public funds. So this change would allow organizations with less than 2 years of operating history to qualify if they can demonstrate equivalent capacity as defined by the CCG administering staff. We want to shift the focus from an arbitrary number of years in operation to more relevant criteria such as financial health. In this year's RFP, that includes having at least 25% of the grant request available as cash assets. So this change maintains strong oversight while expanding access to newer organizations that are ready to do this work. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you so much. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. To you and to Supervisor Sauter for this legislation, which seems reasonable and appropriate and correct to me. I have a question about a phenomena I've started to hear about with the Community Challenge Grants. I don't think it's necessarily new, but I'm hearing from some of my constituents that the way this program is actually working in practice for some organizations is, you know, the community neighborhood-based, scrappy collection of neighbors applies for funds to do something nice in the neighborhood and gets the grant. But because this money comes in as reimbursement, someone from the neighborhood ends up writing the $20,000 or $25,000 or $30,000 and then getting reimbursed. I don't know how widespread this is and how much the Community Challenge Grant Program relies on that, but it strikes me as not great because, you know, these are community groups. It probably creates a fair amount of disparity because I don't know that every, you know, motley collection of neighbors who are interested in doing something in the neighborhood is going to have someone around who's able to front, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and then get reimbursed. I'm just curious what your office is kind of thinking about that. Is this an issue?
So this is separate from what's before you, but I'm happy to talk about how the program runs. And I can't say that I've seen that. So yes, our program runs as a reimbursement process. There are fiscal sponsors, and that relationship between how the fiscal sponsor reimburses the project is a relationship that is determined separate from CCG. It really depends on that MOU between the grantee, which is the fiscal sponsor, and the subcontractor. So what I see is a reimbursement to the fiscal sponsor, and I see itemized expenses that have been paid that I then reimburse to the fiscal sponsor. Right.
Which is why a Parks Alliance is so kind of important in this equation, or some entity that has, I mean, ideally not Parks Alliance, but somebody, some entity that has pockets that are deep enough to float these collections of well-intentioned, although maybe not rich, neighbors. All right. Well, thank you for that diversion. And this seems good. I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor to this item.
Thank you, President Mandelman. And just want to remind folks that these grants are not extremely large comparative to resources that the city expends in other ways, too. Vice Chair Cheryl.
I'd also like to be added as a co-sponsor, please, and echo President Mandelman's concerns and comments.
Thank you. And seeing no one else on the roster, we will go to public comment on this item.
My apologies. I didn't catch the last comment by Supervisor Cheryl.
Oh, I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Yes.
And I just echo President Mandelman's comments and kind of concerns on the larger equity implications of the larger program that, again, don't necessarily speak directly to this.
Thank you. I will add you as a co-sponsor. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers in the room who would like to comment on this matter? There are no speakers at this time.
Thank you, seeing no speakers. Public comment is now closed. And I'd like to make a motion to move this item forward to the full board with recommendation.
On that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman. Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 5.
Yes, item number 5 is a motion reappointing Supervisor Rafael Mandelman, term ending December 1st, 2026, to the California State Association of Counties.
Thank you. I'd like to move to excuse Supervisor Mandelman from this item.
Yes, on the motion to excuse, Vice Chair Cheryl. Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman. Mandelman, excuse. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, would you call for public comment on this item, please?
Yes. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers for this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I'd like to make a motion to move item 5 forward to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl. Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman, excuse. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 6.
Yes, item number 6 is a motion appointing Supervisor Shimon Walton to the Committee on City Workforce Alignment for an indefinite term.
I'd like to move to excuse Chair Walton from this matter.
Yes, on the motion to excuse Chair Walton for this item, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Walton, excuse.
Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, would you please call for public comment?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak on this matter? There are no speakers.
Seeing no speakers, public comment is closed. And I would like to move to send this matter to the full board with positive recommendation.
Yes, on that motion to recommend, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Walton, excuse. That motion passes without objection.
Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, is there any further business?
There are no additional items on this agenda.
We are adjourned.